Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Brother Emmett Overton, Assistant Pastor Rod Baker. He's going to be bringing the Word of God. We have Chaplain John Durden, who's with us on staff now. And before we get started, we're going to have some praise and worship. And, of course, we are in Jamaica. And, of course, you will get Jamaican music. Wagwan, man.
Welcome to my gymnasium. Check it out. Watch this. Bring ding 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 ding.
Hey, oh, 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 hey. Where you lead me, Lord, I must follow. Open doors, not just for tomorrow. Enemies fight me, but we got a victory. Won't fear no evil, cause God is with me, yeah. Thank God for help. Everything may not be well, but I have good friends and a roof over my head. Unconditional, that's how God loves me. I will fear no evil, cause God is with me.
Thank you.
All right, Pastor Baker, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Okay, Chaplain John Durden, can you hear me?
Very clearly.
All right, Dr. Higginbue says he's going to be monitoring Dr. Jackson Wallace McNugget from Inside Out, Texan. Dr. Wilmore, Dr. D.C. Thompson, and Dr. L.Z. McDougallison says they'll be monitoring. We want to thank all of our listening audience, even those who said they'd be monitoring, whatever that is. But 117,000. Did you read the thing today, Brother Baker? 117,000, am I correct?
Yes, sir, I've seen it. That's the correct number.
We have ministered to 117,000 listening audience on Blog Talk Radio. Assistant Pastor, U.S. War Veteran, U.S. Veteran, I'm sorry, Brother Baker, father, three tadpole nannies, three beautiful girls, wonderful wife and family man, and staff member with Brother John Durden, also staff. We're going to turn this thing over to Brother Rodriguez, Assistant Pastor Rodriguez Baker. You got an hour, 53 minutes. You got the mic.
All right, all right, all right. What's going on? I want to say what's going on, Chaplain John. Long time no see.
Amen, amen, brother, amen.
All right, all right, all right. All right, man. Hey, how everybody doing from all over the world? Everybody who's listening. I know it's been a while since I've been here. Of course, like the pastor told you guys, I'll be kind of busy with my kids and my wife. She had surgery. I'm with my kids by myself, so I'm trying to knock this out the best I can before they start become needy. But I just want to come and teach and talk about some things that God has been showing me. But he's been showing me through my own convictions, my errors, my lacks where I need to develop and grow in. So it's been on my heart. Something I've been studying, something that I came across, and I figured that I could share with you guys, so everybody who's listening. I pray this be a blessing to you, because I'm sure there's many of you out there who feel the same way, feel God is tugging on you, and you're having challenges in your life, and just trying to figure out how to start, where to start, and just how to, you know, make it through this crazy life, you know, in these last days. So here we go. We're going to dive in. I just want to, like I said, I want to teach you some things about, you know, what God has put on my heart, again, with my own conviction, things that I see, especially in this day and age, we in these last days. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you understand the scriptures, you know, you can tell it's obviously we are in the last days. We are obviously living in prophecy, you know. It won't be long before Jesus come back, because he tell us that. He said it all through scripture. I think, I really believe that we are the generation that's going to see a lot of prophecy come to pass, you know, in these last days, in this last hour. So, and I bring that up because, again, like I said, I see that it's very important for us as Christians to examine ourselves, to examine ourselves. Y'all give me 1 minute. Hold on for a second. Excuse me about that. Get my kids to leave the room. Oh, yeah, so I wanted to, like I said, there's a lot of things going on in these last days that I feel as Christians, as believers, we have to be watchers for, to be watchful, to be alert, you know, to not only be watchful for the coming of Christ, but also to be watchful for, to keep us from being deceived in these last days. The devil is very wise. He's very wise, and his ultimate goal is to get as many Christians to fall. And, of course, it says in the scriptures, it says in the last days, many will fall from the faith. You know, and I just, I was convicted that if we're not, as believers, you know, solid, have a strong foundation, and our walk with Christ, not just our belief in scripture, but our walk, our lifestyle, and have a firm faith in Christ, then we too can become victims of being deceived. That's why I said that the scripture tells us to examine ourselves, examine our hearts. You know, one of the things that I see in the church is that they say that, you know, once you're saved, that's it. You know, once saved, always saved. That's not the case. You know, Christians, believers can't lose your salvation. We see, also, like I said, we see that people get saved and they think that's it. You know, like, you know, you don't have to do anything else. Well, that's when you'll be attacked the hardest. You know, I can say that from the spirit. I'm sure a lot of other believers who's born again and have a serious heart about Christ and the things of God, that's when you become a target. You become a target. Again, you are a target. Satan's kingdom has a plan for you, just like God's kingdom does. And it's very important for us as believers to understand that we have to die daily. That really starting to resonate with me. When Jesus said we want to be a follower, we have to die daily. We have to die daily to our flesh, to our own desires, to be followers of Christ. You know, because if we giving in to the flesh and not the spirit, you're gonna fall and you're gonna fail. Because the scripture says, as a matter of fact, we can go to that. We can go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. And it reads, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, you are not under the law." That, I've read that quite a bit, you know, in my history of studying the Bible, but for some reason that's sticking out to me lately. You know, I just happened to open my Bible and that scripture just resonated to me last night. Because as you see, we battle. We're going to battle with the flesh. If you're feeding the things of the flesh, we're not. I mean, the Holy Spirit got on me about that. I give you a perfect example. It's a TV show. I'm not sure if y'all are familiar. It's a TV show called The Walking Dead. That it's pretty much about the apocalypse that they say, and they turn to zombies and things of that nature. And I got caught up in that show. To the point where it grabbed me, it grabbed my attention so much that my hour that I spend time with God, I start ignoring it and replaced it with feeding my flesh things of the world. Especially a show called The Walking Dead. So I'm feeding my flesh dead things. And when you're feeding your flesh, you're suppressing your spirit. Because the scripture says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what I'm saying? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But that's a battle. It's a battle. You have to feed your spirit the things of God. Whatever you feed the most, that's what's going to have more control of your life. And I'm preaching to myself as well. So when I start watching that show, I noticed that my desire to read the word became little. My desire to pray became little. Again, like I told you, my hour of spending time with Christ, I put that on the back burner. You know, I put God on the pedestal. I ask God to forgive me for that. Lord, forgive me. But just to see, and I remember after that, watching that show so much, I kept feeling sluggish. I kept feeling dead. I kept feeling like I didn't have no motivation to do anything. When I would go try to pray, I just didn't feel it. I tried to read. I couldn't feel it. And then I dealt with that for a whole two weeks. You know, normally I have a zeal to go when my family sleep. I go and I pray in my closet, go study, you know. But for some reason, I didn't have that, you know, in me. And then one day, my family left and went somewhere. I was at home by myself. And I just made myself get up. And I jumped up, and I went in the closet. And I said, Lord, I said, Holy Spirit, I don't know what it is, but Lord, I need to be restored. I don't know. I just feel like I don't have no desire to seek you. And I felt the quickening in my spirit. And how I know it's a quickening, because I always, when I feel a quickening in my spirit from the Holy Spirit, I feel like I'm jumping. And I heard it clear as day in my spirit. He said, you've been feeding yourself on dead things. You've been feeding your spirit. You've been feeding your flesh that show called The Walking Dead. On top of that, the show is about deadness. So I started feeling dead. I started feeling like I didn't have no life because I fed myself that. And when the Holy Spirit showed me that, I was like, wow, wow. And I had to repent of that and get back to where God, get back to my place with God. So I said it because it's very vitally important that we recognize that we are, God instructed us to not, we in the world, but not of it. You see what I'm saying? We can't do as believers, we can't do everything that everybody does. We're set apart for a reason. Again, I'm preaching to myself. We can't do what everybody does. We can't talk how everybody talk. We can't go where everybody go. We can't hang out with everybody. I got friends that I've been close with since I was 14, 15 years old. I love them like brothers. But I get word of knowledge every time from my cousin, from pastor, that I have to let them go because they're not believers. You see what I'm saying? Now, let me say this. They say they believe in God. They believe Jesus, but your lifestyle doesn't reflect that. And what happens is I keep hanging around them, wanting to do the things they do, entertaining my flesh the way they entertain the flesh, and eventually you start walking like the world. That's why the scripture says bad company, the wrong company bring corrupt manners. Corrupt company bring corrupt manners. So what you hang around, you're going to eventually be like. That's why Christ said we're set apart. We're set apart. Understanding it. It's a hard, of course, especially when you have, you've been, not just with your friends, but family members too. I got family members I can't even hang with. I got a family member right now who don't even like to hear me talk about spiritual talk. Because this person feel like they know everything. Because they older than me. And I'm not saying I'm the best, but hey, the difference between me and somebody else, that the difference between me and my family, that I'm not going to justify what God said is wrong. See, when you hang around people and they start doing that, it's time to remove yourself. Is you gonna? Scripture says, "Is you gonna please man or you gonna please God?" So it's vitally important that we protect ourselves, we shield ourselves from people of the world, things of the world, what we watch on TV, what we listen to. Holy Spirit told me something a few weeks ago. He told me you got to give up something for me. I always have a desire to go to the next level. But it's a hindrance somewhere. It's a hindrance. I always find myself back to doing, catch myself listening to a certain music just because I like the beat. Even certain movies you watch. A lot of movies ain't bad. They ain't bad. Like, I like Marvel movies in DC, like Spider-Man and X-Men. I like action movies, stuff like that. But those things are the world. Not saying you can't enjoy it. But for God, for us as believers to go to the next level, we have to give up something. We have to sacrifice. I remember telling a relative of mine, we was talking about the anointing. And they think that when you save and you're believing, you automatically have all levels of anointings. And as I grow in God, I found out that's not true. A lot of anointings we have to sacrifice for. A lot of anointings comes with a cost. And it ain't easy, but it can be done because the scripture says, with God, all things are possible. Through Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We got to deny the flesh. Holy Spirit, get on me all the time. There's things that I desire to do with my life. There's things I want to get into, things I want to develop. It's not bad. But God wants our all. God wants my all. And I pray every day that the Holy Spirit will continually to break me, to remove all worldliness out of my heart. I encourage you all to ask the Lord to ask the Lord, say, Lord, Holy Spirit, conform my will to your will. I want my will to be your will. I want my will to be your will. That's why Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. She's like, the older I get, and when I say not just older in age, but also in understanding and wisdom, it's like the more I understand, when I understand that like more, like you have to, what it means to really deny yourself. We got to give up something. And also be watchful. We have to be watchful for our faith and tricks and devices. See, Satan can come through different avenues. You know, he can get through you through different avenues. That's why I say we have to be careful with watching TV. The flesh, be careful what we listen to. We even have to protect our children. I have to protect my children from what they watch and what they listen to in these last days. With all this strong influence, this homosexuality, is this, they on the rise. The gay community is that Antichrist spirit has risen, and they're trying to grab all of the children. And the churches churches today are endorsing it. Churches today scared to speak against it because they don't want to lose something that the flesh is attached to, which is your audience, your fame, your money. Your flesh is attached to that. Your flesh is attached to that. So because they want to keep that, they don't speak on it. They don't do the will of God. Even though they know the will of God, I'd rather not do it because I don't want to lose what I have. I was telling my wife not too long ago, I was telling her, I said, baby, we got to get to a point. So no matter how much God blesses us, God can bless us with $10 million one day. And the next day he come to us and say, give it all away. His obedience got to mean more than material things and things of this world, than things that we desire. The scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. Let's go down to Galatians chapter 5, 19. Just going to go down one. And it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. clearly says now that the works of the flesh are manifested through these. Adultery, fornication, unclean, you see for yourself. Again, I feel like I'm talking to myself as well for some reason. I feel convicted for myself as well. These are things because of the flesh. Because of the flesh. And one of the strongholds, one of the ways that we, again, like I said, we feed the flesh. We got to stop feeding the flesh. We have to embrace the Holy Ghost assistance in denying the flesh. That comes with sacrifice. If you got to give up TV, give it up. If you got to give up the friends, if you got to give up music, if you got to give up.
Pastor Baker.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? I had to call in, turn off the radio station, come back in because the Lord wanted to share something with me. Can I share something with you on what you said?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Pastor Baker, a lot of Christians are under another Jesus, Juanita Bynum's, E.T. Jakes, Eddie Long, Joe Osteen gospel, Paula White. They like stuff like that because it doesn't bring conviction. Dr. Charles Stanley, no conviction. This is why they like that, where it is you're under deliverance ministry. And when you're under deliverance ministry, we allow the power of God. It's an honor to hear your heart. You being real. And Reverend Dawkinson, you need to be real. Hold on, I got word of knowledge with him. See, you up here judging one of my assistants. I'm like, well, what he doing? What you doing in the bed with Apple Booty, huh? Huh? You're in the room with Apple Booty. What's the problem with that? You're in room 137 at the Holiday Inn right now in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're wicked, and you're going to judge us?
Jeez.
You're in the room with a man. A man. He left the room. You see, this is the problem with Christianity. It's watered down, Brother Rodriguez. And you mean well. You're going to get attacked with your family?
Mm-hmm.
Look, I had a financial problem. Well, internet radio is not, you have to really trust in God on internet radio. And I've been doing it 14 years. And the Lord moved on me, and I'm going to be honest, like he being honest. Brother Rodriguez, then I asked you, I said, Rodriguez, can you help me? And I'll pay it back to you, and then you help me, right?
Yes, sir.
And I paid it back, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got prosecuted by my sister because I had to ask my sister. I'll never do it no more. Look at you. Look at you. Uh-huh. And, you was a preacher. Mm-hmm. Well, where is he at now, you see? And people will attack you, even family members that don't. When Jesus did a wonderful thing in Matthew 12, 46 and 47, Mary, his own mama, I always tell Roman Catholics that since they pray in the mirror, I say, y'all praying to somebody who Jesus turned his hand away from. He said, what you talking about? She's the Virgin Mary. I said, well, the Bible says that his mama and his brother were standing outside desiring not to speak to him. And he turned toward his disciples, not his mama. And he said, fool self, do the will of my father, the same as my mother and brother and sister in heaven. He did not acknowledge fleshly family. And see, this is the problem. People think fleshly family, and they get that confused with spiritual family. Oh, it's a big difference. And they are jealous. This brother was persecuted. Now, he ain't got to tell nobody here who he voted for. So let me say, just cut that out right now. He voted who he wants to. He a veteran. And got persecuted unnecessarily because he voted for who he wanted to vote for. And we ain't going into who he vote for. That ain't your business. First Thessalonians 4:11. Make it aberration, lead a quiet life, intend your own bit. We ain't here for that. We here to show you the seriousness of these last days where people want watered down gospel. That's what they want. They want it watered down. If you water it down, they good. If you want it watered down, they good.
Yep.
And this brother is doing, and I've been knowing him for years. And he is a good father. And I ain't saying this to no accolades. I don't, he know I'm not like that. This brother took care of 3 children while his wife was in Afghanistan. What man would do that? See, it's a spirit of jealousy within the church, a gossip demon. This watered down Jesus Christ, I don't want no part of it. All right, Baker.
Yeah, and you definitely have a clear point of that, because that's what's going on, because that's what's being accepted today. Because like you said, like Pastor say, there's no conviction. There's no conviction. That's one thing. Once I learned that, if you fall into sin of anything happening and you have conviction of the Holy Spirit, that's a good thing. That means you're saved. All the conviction is just the Holy
That's
Spirit
right.
just kind of tapping you a little bit, telling you, hey, let's get it. You fall, get back up.
That's
but
right.
If you don't
On
have
air,
no conviction, if you don't have no conviction as a so-called believer, something's wrong. You need to check your heart.
On
you need
air.
To check yourself. You need to check yourself. If you're doing something that you know is not of God and you don't feel bad
on
about
air.
It, something is not right. Something's not right.
I'm air live. I'll call you back.
And sometimes it was times in my life where I would have to, like, you know, like, I know this ain't right, but I mean, when I was in the world, man, heavy, like, doing my own thing, being a young man. And once I know it's wrong, but I want to feel conviction. And then, you know, once I learned, you know, about the conviction and the love of Christ and the seriousness of God, you know, that's when I had to really humble myself and pray. If I could just humble myself, we all got to humble ourselves, turn from my wicked ways and pray. Holy Spirit, get us back in line. So I definitely agree with Pastor said. You know, that's what's going on today. All this watered down stuff. The world is looking like the church today. That's why nobody take the church serious no more.
That's right.
I hear countless times.
They want the money. That's all they've been teaching. I'm blessed. You ain't blessed worth nothing. You don't obey God. You don't repent. You don't fast. You don't read the word. You want somebody to just tell you a twinkle and twinkle your toe, and you just want to keep the twinkling and keep, you know, you're picking a gospel that doesn't convict. That's why they like that.
Yeah, definitely. And then when they don't convict, you know, this is what I believe. I believe those who are, like, heavily, they go to church, but they know it. I believe deep down inside, they know what they know is wrong. That's why they get mad. That's why those demons get mad. Nobody get offended until a Christian say something about it. But any other faith or religion say something, ain't no problem.
Let's see what Chaplain Durden. Chaplain Durden, you got any comments?
Yeah, the brother talked about, he opened up with, I think the scripture was Galatians 5:19. And that portion of it, he talked about how we as humans need to really walk in the steps of the Holy Spirit, need the Holy Spirit, and we need to put that flesh thing aside. We can't be obedient to all both. Another thing, he said that we need to walk moment by faith in God's word under the control of the Spirit. In other words, he was doing with flesh. Galatians 5 was saying that we should not live according to the flesh. That is the Holy Spirit that's supposed to direct our thoughts, our actions, and everything else, you know. And then he went on to talk about Galatians 19, went down and talked about the gifts of the Spirit and how we need to walk under the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is adequate. I like the idea he talked about his wife was away and he was home. And being an obedient father and a son of God, as well as a minister of God, I would call it now, is that he had no problem talking about, hey, I'm supposed to be doing this. That's his children as well. And he's doing what he's supposed to do, bringing
That's right.
children up in the ways of the Lord. And
that's,
and finally,
that's his ministry. That's his ministry.
And then one last thing he said, the only consistent way we can do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, we need to make the desires of the Holy Spirit relevant more so than our flesh. He said we should live step by step in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Now watch this. Watch this now. Brother Baker, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Chaplain Durden, how old are you?
80.
Do we get phone calls with pastors talking about ball jacking? Yes or no?
Every day, 24/7 almost.
This is wicked. Now watch this. Ball jacking, they get mad at me and Brother John because we're calling them out. And they get angry. And we get pastors talking about they're going to drive down. Brother Baker, they tell you that they're going to ball jack us, they're going to rape us and sodomize us. Can you, they're supposed to be Christian. Wait a minute now. One call, and he said, I'm coming to ball jack you and all this old crazy stuff. And we get word of knowledge. And y'all will be surprised. And Brother John, 80 years old. Am I lying, Brother John, to you or not?
No, that's the truth. They can't even identify with the word of knowledge. Some of y'all are the witness. They don't even know the Bible.
Then,
every time we give a revelation.
They don't even know the Bible.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then they get mad at Brother John. We have his written word. And they get angry at the man because the man said tongues have ceased. It's gone. It ain't no more. And that's a theological error. And Brother John gets pounded and persecuted because he teaches them out the Bible. See, that go Dr. Willis Munro. He just takes text. See that? For example, you don't listen. Brother Rodriguez, can Brother John explain that to Dr. Baker real quick? See that? Brother John, what is the problem with these theologians not believing that? See, there goes another one. Dr. Hillmo said, Captain Durden, you got to show me where that's at because I don't believe it. Tongues have ceased. You see, they are teaching it. Go ahead, Brother John, explain this theologian real quick.
If you look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10, it cites three things. It says about revelation and prophecy, tongues, you know, and were ceased. Well, if you look at it, finally, you know, I believe that when I was 20 years under my Baptist denomination and 15 years under my Methodist denomination, and finally, when I move up here, I just finally say, Lord, I don't know what to believe. I can ask a million guys up, and each one will give me a different question. I really need to know. For some reason, I just can't accept the fact that tongue has ceased. I don't know why. I cannot receive that. Finally, I got a response from the Lord, because it's not true. Your spirit will not receive it. He said, look at verse 8. Now look at, Lord, have mercy. And in all, there was three things he cited. He talked about revelation, he talked about tongues and prophecy. Now you know the devil didn't say that revelation has prophecy has ceased. He didn't say the only thing he said was cease was nothing. All of them said shall or will. And I talked to an English professor, man. He said, John, just look at it. It says tongue has ceased. It says tongues will. He said, now, come on, man. Don't you know your tenses? And I go, yeah. He said, okay. Well, shall, is that past tense? Or that's present tense? Or that's future tense? And I said, oh, my God. I said, it's future tense. Some versions say shall and some say will. If you look at shall and will, you look up the definition, that's future tense. And then in verse 10 will clarify and say, when that which is perfect come, it shall cease. And that's Jesus. He's the perfect one. We won't need prophecy and stuff like that, because prophecy, that's God speaking to the people through the Holy Spirit. Because if he be speaking to the Lord, may be ministering to us through the pastor. And the pastor be speaking in tongues sometimes, because the pastor had left something out, and the Lord want to say something, and the Lord want to give us accusations and stuff like that. So he had the pastor speak in tongues, and then somebody said, Pastor, I know what you said, because God gave him to speak, and the young man might say, he said, the Lord tell us to tell the congregation that he loves us, he's willing to be with us, he's our salvation, and these kinds of things. That's how he communicates with us. We have prophecy. That means God is speaking to us through the people or the pastor. Then we have the middle one, tongues. Tongues, God used the Holy Spirit. That's not us. The Holy Spirit is speak out using the Holy Spirit to speak to us about accolations, how he's satisfied with us, what he want to do with us, and what his plans and everything else, because we don't know it all. But we won't need tongues when Christ come back, then he can speak to us personally, because he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords over the whole nation. So look at the word tongues will. Tongues will. And tongues shall. That's future. That's not past tense.
Now, imagine somebody sitting under a false doctrine like that. Like Rodriguez just said, they believe that you don't need to suffer to get the anointing. The anointing ain't free. You're going to have to suffer. You're going to be persecuted. People don't want to suffer. Suffering? Man, please. That's a subject that can't even be taught. It's not popular. I get on YouTube and talk about suffering, I get 2 people. I get on here and talk about demons, I get 40. Nothing wrong with demonology, it's the study of deceit. But we're going to have to suffer for the anointing. And Christians don't want to suffer. They don't want to read the Bible. They want to listen to, have you heard of this? I don't listen to them people. I don't listen to none of these new pastors. I don't even know who they are. I don't even want to know, because I study. I don't need to listen to them. I need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, I do listen to Derek Prince every night for 14 years, and I get different That one person called me and told me, well, he dead and gone. I said, the Spirit of God in him ain't dead. God's Spirit never die. And Rodriguez, I've been knowing this brother a long time. He come has a good heart. He come a long ways. And for people to persecute him, and I told him, they do me like that. They do me and Sister Dirty like that all the time. I get people call me, cuss me out, mad at me. For what? I haven't done anything. I got people angry at me speaking the truth. Well, that's when you know you're in the last days. And it's going to get worse. You got the mic, Baker.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely going to get worse. You definitely have to prepare for it. Like Brother John say, tongues is still existing to today. You know, and I can really co-sign for that, because, like I tell you before, Brother John was the one who led me to start speaking in tongues, because I didn't understand it. I thought it was a bunch of gibberish, you know, for the show. Then he told me to do it. He showed me how to do it and operate it by faith. And then when I did it, you know, I felt the Holy Ghost take control of my tongue. I've been speaking in tongues ever since. So, Brother John, thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord, brother. I hear you. Thank you, Lord.
definitely.
Also, Miss Williamson said thank you, too, Brother John. You led her. Sister Bright, Brother Billminton, Brother McDonaldson, Brother Jackson, Brother Milton says thank you, because they was at the house, too, and you did the same thing to a lot of people.
Well, thank the Lord. It's my pleasure to be an assistant, but give all the praise and glory to the Lord. I'm just being an obedient child of God. That's all.
Amen. Amen. And that's exactly what it's about. It's being an available, usable vessel. You know, God, I know a lot of people, you know, they tend to look, you know, for God to speak through big preachers and famous preachers or big name preachers. You know, God uses everybody. God, he don't use everybody, but he uses many vessels that belongs to him. You know, God, his word says, our ways are not his ways, our thoughts are not his thoughts. God is not no one way, so we can't confine God in a box. You know, if you can see throughout the Bible, God used several people throughout the whole Bible, and that's how it is today. So the same God that used Moses, that talked to Moses through the burning bush and split the seas, it's the same God today. He's God yesterday, today, and forevermore. So the same God can use you. The same God can use anybody else. So, again, like I said, I just thank Brother John for being an obedient vessel to get me to that level. But like Pastor Amy said, man, we are in these last days. We have to be aware.
They last days, yeah.
And if you, as a Christian, you know, starting to, be careful that you don't justify. When you find yourself start becoming numb to the things that God hates, you start becoming numb more acceptance to the things of the world, you got to check yourself. Start checking yourself.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Second Timothy 3:1. And then when we leave there, we're going to go to 2 Timothy 4, to the next chapter over, and we're going to start at 1. So 2 Timothy 3:1, it reads, "This know also," I'm reading in the King James Version, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, of their own selves." Do we not see that today? "Covetousness," do we not see that? "Boasters," proud, "blasphemers," a lot of blaspheming people. They use God, Jesus' name. I mean, movie today, I was watching a movie the other day. He said, "Jesus effing Christ," like four or five times. I couldn't even watch the movie. I just cut it off because it hurt my spirit. You know, there's no respect for God. But, you know, I always question. I said, why do I always got to use Jesus? Why be the people who don't believe it, but they got to put a cuss word with Jesus' name? I don't never see them say, using Muhammad's name or Buddha or anybody else. It's always Jesus. You know, they always got to talk Jesus. You know, but that should tell you. That should tell you. Disobedience to parents. I see that all the time. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, in America. Like, we see the rebellion of our young people. They do what they want to do, so disrespectful. They're getting killed every day. I used to be the police. I used to deal with this all the time. Parents calling the police on their children. Because parents don't got scared of their parents. I mean, got scared of their kids. The kids are so disrespectful and very rebellious.
That happened to me. That happened to me, Rodriguez. Happened to me.
I remember.
It was there. That boy was very disrespectful, and I told his mother, "Look, you're going to have to do something about this dude here." Didn't want to do nothing I tell him to do.
Very disrespectful.
Been through that.
And it's like, you know, when I was coming up, and I'm sure, you know, Brother John and Brother Emmett, y'all, you know, a lot more older than me, and I'm sure y'all dealt with the same thing coming up. Our parents didn't play that. Your grandmother didn't play that. It was discipline everywhere. You know, wasn't no talking back.
I know.
Wasn't no disrespect. You know, you get slapped in your mouth. You know, you got dealt with.
Yeah.
These kids today, the devil is really working.
He's working.
Unthankful. A lot of ungratefulness. I have to catch it in my kids sometimes. I have to stop that in the track community. Sometimes, you know, kids they want things as kids, and they want something else. They can be ungrateful. But I have to check that sometimes. So I refuse to let that become a habit as they get older. Unholy, we definitely see that. We don't just see it in the world. We see it all in the church. I see pastors over here, preachers supposedly over here, marrying gay folks. They do everything like the world do, you know. Very unholy, disrespect, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. God, people be mad at you because you do the right thing. I'm telling you what's right out of love, and you still want to hate me, you know, or you just hate my belief, you know. I'm not knocking your belief. You get mad at me because of where I stand with something. How is it offending you? How is it affecting your life? But that's where we at today. Traitors, petty, high-minded, people very prideful. That's very prideful. That's one thing I ask God is, Lord, keep me from being prideful. Don't let me, whatever blessings you bless me or however far you take me, whatever, let me continue to be humble. And know that you are, I have to answer to you at the end. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That right there, we're starting to love things. We love pleasure. We love to party. We love partying, eating, you know, sex, just a whole bunch of stuff. We just love pleasure. Anything that pleases us, it becomes more of your God than the true God. And that's what I was talking about earlier about denying the flesh. Having a form of godliness, oh, we see that all the time. But denying the power thereof, see that all the time. Everybody's so godly. Everybody got a relationship with God. God know my heart. That's why I hear all the time. God know me, you know. But hey, but you can't obey scripture. You can't stand on a word.
Rodriguez?
Mm-hmm.
When they say God know my heart, the Bible do say that the heart is wicked above all things, but God know their heart. But which one?
Yes.
A double heart that speaks of in Psalm 12:2. Which heart you talking about?
Exactly. And that's where they fall into ignorance, because they don't know. They don't know that. They think because they gave a man, a homeless man, some food, or they got a good heart, they say, look, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? You can't trust in your own heart. Don't trust your heart. Trust the Holy Spirit. Start trusting your heart. You start feeding to the flesh. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts. Let's go to the next one, on chapter 4, verse 1. We're just going on over. And I read all that in chapter 3 to show that that everything that Paul said, that we're going to see these last days, you got to ask yourself, are we not seeing that? And it's going to get even more bolder, and it's going to get even more blatant. And I want to go to chapter 4, verse 1. And he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, this is what Pastor just said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrines, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Do we not see that what's going on today in these last days? People don't even want to hear the truth no more. Like Pastor said earlier, they want to hear pastors today, preachers today that has no conviction. There has no conviction. Pastors very famous. I see pastors that preach big. Preachers today, man, they famous with rappers and people and stuff like that. Got them in the churches, and you got actors and celebrities who in movies that's very blatant against God. You got them in the church laying hand on folks. What? That's where she and folks in the pulpit, they don't know no better. They think it's all God. That's one thing I ask God, Lord, give me a spirit of discernment. But I got to suffer for that anointing. I got to suffer. I got to give some up. That's Holy Spirit told me that. Every time I ask the Lord for that, Holy Spirit tell me I got to give some up for me to get that. I got to suffer for something to get that. So it's going to say, like, we have to be mindful of where we are in these last days. You know, we have to make sure we're not deceived, because there's going to come a time where it will be tested. You know, the scripture says that many worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And I pray that the Lord, that Lord, please don't let me be far from you. Don't let me have a form of godliness. I want to be true. I want to be true. Sometimes, you know what I do is, sometimes I'll get on YouTube and I pull up genuine messages about hell, just to like, you know, get me remind myself a little bit sometimes. Sometimes you know what they say in the old days. Sometimes you got to go back home and regroup yourself. And sometimes I kind of like throw that in there. Let me get this message by hell. You know, we hell by heaven, but hell is real. A lot of people don't believe in hell. They believe in heaven. They believe everybody going to heaven. I'm telling you, we're in these last days, man, and it's going to be real. We cannot be of the world. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. First John chapter 2, verse 15, and it reads, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Is of the world. So I caught myself like desiring so much things of the world. Like, there's nothing wrong with having nice things and money, and God wants you to have success. He wants you to prosper. But I understand now that God, before God blesses us with any of those things, he wants our heart to be secure with him first. If our heart is not secure with him 100%, not 98%, then God's not going to, you know, we tend to take the scripture out of context and say, he'll give us the desires of our heart. People think that if I pray for it and he see my heart, he'll give it to me. That ain't how God works. Trust me, I know that firsthand. I tried that a long time ago. I used to pray back in my harbor broke days. I used to pray so much to win the lottery. And I realized God ain't got nothing to do with that. That is not of God. That is not how God works. But it's not that God don't want to bless you. God wants your heart first. He wants your life. He wants everything. He wants all of me. He wants all of you. And that comes with denying that flesh, submitting your will. No matter what you want to do, you may have a opportunity to go and for the best opportunity that's going to bring you a lot of money. But God can be telling you, put that to the side. Give me your heart. Can you trust him? But if our heart is attached to the world and the things of the world, then we're going to be trapped. It's going to feel good temporarily, but the eternal consequences is not good. It's not going to bring, not even just eternal, even here on earth, we're not going to have no peace. Not going to have no peace. I remember when God blessed me, I was waiting for a blessing for a long time. And when I finally got it and seen the amount of money that I've never seen before in my life, I was so ecstatic. I was like, oh my God, like I was very happy. Like, you know, all types of stuff come through your mind, like what you gonna do, like you're thanking God. But I realized once that high went down, my peace, that wasn't my peace. It was good to have it, don't get me wrong. But I realized, like, I can be doing all this. I can be going here, going there, living a good life, but I feel like I'm being poor from God. I start giving to the pleasures of my flesh more than the things of God. I minimize feeding my spirit, and I start maximizing feeding my flesh. It's just like being disciplined with your weight and your natural. If you want to lose weight, or you want to stay a certain size, or you want to look a certain way, that's discipline in how you eat. if you eat too much and the wrong thing, you become unhealthy and you send yourself up for failure. If you eat the right things, you're going to look good. You're going to feel good. You're going to be successful. And it's the same thing in the spirit, with your spirit. You have to feed the spirit the things of God. Whatever you're feeding yourself, be careful what we feed ourselves. With the things we feed our eyes, the lust of the eyes, that's a gate to our soul. And if the scripture says, if the whole body is defiled, I mean, if the eyes is defiled, the whole body is. That's what happens when we're looking at pornography, the wrong things on TV. You start feeding that flesh. And then next thing you know, there comes masturbation. There comes entertaining your sex partner, fornication. It's uncleanness. So what? How do I feed my flesh? Tell you the number one thing is the fasting. Fasting. We got the first. If you can't push a plate away, how you gonna push a woman away? You know, how you gonna do that? We got the not at first. Jesus said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So we have to feed on the things of God, the will of God. Feed ourselves the word. Listen to things, pastors and preachers who preaches sound doctrine. Separating ourselves from friends that's of the world, family members of the world. And just making the sacrifice, giving it up. Yes, God loves us, and thank God. I'll be the first to say I thank God for his patience. Lord Jesus, thank you. God, I've probably been gone a long time ago. Thank you, God. Yes, he wants us to. Yes, he says, righteous man falls 7 times and get back up. But at some point, you're going to have to get control of that. It's just like me getting on my kids, or you getting on your kids. Or our parents used to get on us. They're like, hey, you're messing up. Get it right. Get it together. They're only going to keep talking for so long, but eventually their belt coming. And it's all out of love. God wants us to be like him. God wants to be like him. We are his sons and daughters. He's a jealous guy. He don't want us being like the world. He paid too much of a cost. Too much of the price was too costly for us to just know the things of God and just shun it like it's nothing. Let's go to James 4:4, and then read this one in another scripture, and then I'll let you go. James 4:4. And it reads, "Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that friendship of the world is enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." So if you are friends of the world, but you're a Christian though, but you are friends with the world, you give in, you it's one thing I try to tell people. I got my flaws like everybody else do, and I thank God for his grace and mercy, and I need God's salvation just like anybody else. I don't care how much fasting and word and whoever I listen to, I need God's grace and mercy every day. But one thing that I tell people that I will never do, I don't care how hard I fall, I don't care what type of sin I've done or whatever it is, I will never, I cannot I had too much conviction to justify the sin. And that's why
right.
I see a lot of either. People and a lot of believers, they justify the sin.
Sin, yep.
They
so do.
If I messed up, Lord, I messed up. It was wrong. I feel so bad, Lord. It was right. It was right. And I just humble myself and repent instead of God understand. Like, I used to hear people say, like, especially more the guys, hear women, too, they say this. But mainly the guys, they say stuff like, you really think God put all these women here just for us to be with one woman? You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
But these, you're supposed to be a Christian, though, you know, and you married.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you okay with that? But you say a Christian. Like, I was just, they justifying it. And I was just talking to somebody that I know. For years, he was, I was asking him, I said, do you believe the word of God? He said, yes. I said, I'm going to ask you this question, but I need to know, do you believe the word of God? Do you believe that the Bible is the authentic word of God? He said, yes. So I said, so why do you believe that gay people, God made them like that? Then I show him in the scriptures in Leviticus where it says a man laying with another man is an abomination in the eyes of God. But you say you believe the word of God. So what they're showing me, people only, so-called Christian, only believe what they want to believe until it hits them. Until it touches on something that's their lifestyle that they believe in or what they want to support because they want to keep a certain group of people around. They don't want to offend nobody. And it's not just gay. It's all sin. Sin, stealing, whatever you want to call it. Sin is sin. But I just use the gay stuff because that's what's the biggest, that's the muscle right now. People using so much. So we cannot justify our sin. Once you find yourself justifying sin and okay with it, no conviction, we got to go back to the altar. We got to go to the cross. We got to get on our knees and repent because we out of line somewhere. We out of pocket somewhere. We feeding ourselves. And if you find yourself, you're a strong believer, you love the Lord, you want to see right, and you find yourself falling or feeding something that's not of God, something is out of order somewhere. You're feeding something more. And I would say this as a parent to parents. We got to be, parenting means guidance. You know what I'm saying? We cover parenting, like we got to be mindful what our children are feeding because they don't know. They're vulnerable. They can be watching something on TV. They don't have no clue that what it is. But how the devil going to get them? The devil ain't going to stop because they kids. He's not going to say, oh, they little kids. They ain't going to worry about them right now. No, he's coming for them too. So I have to be mindful with my kids. I don't let them listen to certain music. I don't let them watch certain stuff. When they go to their relative's house, like grandmothers and aunts or whatever, they do that type of stuff. I can't keep them from them because they love them, but what I do, I cover them. I pray for them. I plead the blood of Jesus over them so they won't be attacked while they're under that in that territory. That's what we have to protect our kids. God, you know, guide them and teach them, show them the habits. When my kids go to bed, I have to go pray with them before they go to sleep. I have to go pray with them. They're going back to school next week. I have to pray with them, cover them, because these kids, they come from different homes, and they're transferred spirits. You want to let your kids go to school, and then they come back talking a certain way, thinking a certain way, because those transferred spirits don't got on and brought them to your house. So I encourage you guys to ask the Lord for wisdom, ask the Holy Ghost for guidance, ask the Holy Ghost to convict you, to keep you humble, to show you and and pray like I'm doing today. I'm praying, ask the Lord to give me the strength and give me the motivation to go deeper and whatever I have to do to seek Him on another level. Whether that's fasting more, whatever it is, I got to cut out my life, cut the social media off. Had to cut off social media. Social media is full of wickedness. Remember the bunch of gossip, lust, temptation. I had to get off of that. And sometimes it's not always bad, but I noticed that we become hooked with these phones. The devil is grabbing our attention through these phones, social media. When you go out in public, just look up and just walk. You'll see majority of people heads down in their phone. They ain't even looking to go across the street. They looking at the phone or the earphones in their ear. You ride the bus. The devil got our attention with these phones. Social media mainly. And then you wonder why we can't hear God, because we're feeding the flesh so much. So I'm not going to hold you guys much longer. I will continue this message next week. I thank you guys for tuning in. Like I said, I should just take heed in examining ourselves, because remember, we are in the last days. It is appointed for man once to die, and after that, judgment. That's guaranteed. You're going to stand before God. That's guaranteed.
You sure will.
You will give an account for your life. So it's just a matter of time. It's coming, and I just pray that I be ready for that day. All right, God bless you guys. I'll see you guys next week. Pastor Dave, go take it over.
All right. We want to thank
Brother Emma.
Pastor. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brother John.
I like his closing remarks. He gave the scripture, James 4:4. Guess what? I turned my Bible to the page of James 4:4, and would be a concluding, wonderful closing comment. I look at the comments under James 4:4. You know what it says? That friendship of the world is enmity with God. It said friendship of the world is spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery.
Mm.
Unfaithful to God and our pledge of commitment to Him.
Oh.
And then another thing, say, for example, for example, of such friendship and participation in secret orders, that's fraternities and all that, large membership that demand unscriptural religious oath and binding together with unbelievers, both of which are forbidden in God's world. Isn't that something?
Mm.
Believers cannot belong to such groups without compromising God's word, standard separation from the world, and so forth. I say, well, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that's amazing that you say that, Brother John, because I'm going to say this real quick. I don't know if a lot of people familiar with Tyler Perry. You know, a lot of black people familiar with him. When he first started out, his studio is here in Atlanta. You know, it's right there in the hood where I'm from. So you can see it. You know, it's very big. It's successful. He done bought a whole military base and made the studio. But before that, he was in the church. He did plays in the church. Black people loved him. Church people loved him. And I remember Ryan by one his studio one day, and I was telling my wife, I said, there's no way that you can become this, and I'm not going to say you can't be that successful, but I said, but at some point in your progress to success, the devil is going to come to you, and you're going to have to compromise if you want to go to the next level. At some point, they hit my spirit. And then you look at his TV shows today, he went from the church, now his show is about gayness. He promote gay stuff. He promote all types of stuff that's opposite of God. And that's interesting that you said that, Brother John, because at some point, you're going to have to compromise if you want to go to the next level in the world. You can't drink the cup of the devil and sit at the table of God and think you're going to, you know, flourish on straddle on both sides of the fence. So I just wanted to share that.
That's a good analogy. Reverend Dillmore, Rodriguez Baker is 6 feet two. What's your weight, Rodriguez?
163, 260, solid muscle.
What you bench press?
4 or 5.
You don't. You won't see, man. That dude one hit knock yourself out. What you talking about? You ain't from no hood, nigga. You don't know about no hood. You don't even sound, man. Go on with that crazy stuff you talking about, nigga. Please, we real niggas from the hood. What you talking about? You a hood? You don't know nothing. What you talking about, man? I started to say something on this thing, man. Go on, hang up the phone. You know what? These people, something. Well, why he got to be talking about Tyler Perry and I love one. Juanita Bynum ain't no preacher. Hold up. Before we go, let me straighten you out. Juanita Bynum is not an evangelist. I am so sick of this mess. Say what? Y'all, before we go, I need y'all to hold on. I got to straighten this out. Juanita Bynum is not an evangelist. Tyler Perry ain't no evangelist. Lord have mercy. Brother, listen to this before we close. Just listen to this very clearly. Ephesians chapter 4. No, he's not. Juanita Bynum is not an evangelist. Evangelist Franklin Graham, he's not an evangelist. He has a title, but there's something that goes to that title. Would you please, you got a pen and piece of paper? Not one problem. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongue. The word evangelist occurs only 3 times in the Bible, man. 3. 1. In Ephesians 4:11, 2, and Acts chapter 21, verse 8, the Bible speaks of Philip, the evangelist. That's the only evangelist that we have in the Bible. In 2 Timothy 4:5, Paul told Timothy, who was the pastor of a New Testament church at that time, to do the work of an evangelist. The meaning of the word evangelist is one who brings the evangelical good news and the message of tithing. Okay, let me straighten you out because you got this wrong. The evangelists bring the message of the redeeming grace of God. The evangelists favor them in salvation in a simply form. The only New Testament example we have as an evangelist is Philip. Philip's ministry is the model because it is the only one God gave us. Philip had just one message, and that was Jesus Christ. Philip's message to Samaria in Acts 8:5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Philip's message to the church, to the eunuch in Acts, chapter 8, verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now watch this. You're missing something. You are missing something. The characteristic of evangelists is this. No matter what scripture they begin with, they preach Jesus. That is their calling. That is their message. The supernatural, now this is what no evangelist. The supernatural equipment accomplishing the evangelist is including miracles. I don't see Juanita Bynum. She's selling white towels and gifts of healing. I ain't never seen her heal nobody. The evangelist is partly a direct endowment of ministry gifts from the Lord in Ephesians 4:11. Yet in 1 Corinthians 12:28, the evangelist is not mentioned by name in this list. Neither is the pastor mentioned by name in this list. The apostle is, the prophet is, the teacher is, but the evangelist and pastors are not. Me personally, I believe that the evangelist is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:28 when it lists miracles, then gifts of healing. Miracles and gifts of healing can also go with the office, but we know from the only New Testament model, Philip, that they should accomplish the evangelist ministry. In Acts chapter 8:5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord, giving heed, seeing those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, that's the ministry of deliverance, for unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with the parsley, and were lame, were healed. That's what an evangelist does. Juanita Bynum is not no evangelist. Franklin Graham ain't over there. He don't cast out no demons. So you got to cast out demons to be part of an evangelist. You are in a Baptist doctrine. You're very stubborn. You have diabetes at 300. You need to be on your knees, man. You got a hate toward apostolic pastors because that's the spirit of Antichrist in you. You have an Antichrist spirit. You don't even speak in tongues. You don't even have the Holy Ghost. You got a piece of paper saying that you're a doctor. You ain't no doctor. You're a doctor by man. And the outside of Christ, you ain't nothing. Because you don't even know the Bible. You get your stuff off the internet. Yeah, you get all your stuff off the internet. You ain't no preacher. So you don't know what you're talking about. Rodriguez, is Tyler Perry a pastor?
Heck no. He showed a little hand. Brother John,
is Tyler Perry a pastor?
Out.
Not as I know of. I hope not.
He's talking about a pastor, and then saying y'all need to leave. He's texting and saying y'all need to leave. Joe Osteen, he's a good man. A good man ain't going to get you to heaven, brother. Joe Osteen ain't nothing but watered-down gospel. Everything is okay with Joe Osteen. It's all right.
And he supports Lady Gaga, devilish. That old, he supports that witch.
Lady Gaga is a witch. She's
a witch, man. And Joe Osteen got all in her church, going to her concerts.
No, he ain't no evangelist. No, I don't support gay marriage. I'm against. I ain't ordained to no man. I'm not ordained. I'm not marrying no two men. No, I don't do that. Chaplain Durden don't do that, and Brother Rodriguez Baker don't do that. That's against the scriptures. God didn't say no Adam and Adam. Come on, man. Man, go on off the phone. Look here. Close out, Brother Rodriguez. Man, I ain't got. You got time for this mess? Man, yeah, go ahead on, man. Go ahead, Rodriguez. Close out of prayer, man. I ain't got time for this foolishness, man.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for coming for you, Lord, giving the glory, honor, and the praise, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to come and fellowship in your name, Lord. Your word says, with two or three gathered in your name, you're in the midst, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that those who heard this, Lord, will bring conviction, Lord, as it is conviction to myself, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, as we sleep upon tonight, Lord. I ask that you send your minister to our hearts, Lord. Lord, and ask you to forgive us, Lord. We come in repentance with a repentant heart. Lord, forgive us for all our sins. Forgive us for every sin we thought, we said, and did. And, Lord, everything that, Lord, we didn't do, Lord, that was your will that we let so forgive us. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We say we love you because you first loved us. We give your name the glory, honor, and praise. Amen.
If anybody want to be a registered minister to be a part of the ministry, Chaplain John Durden's on staff. You just heard Assistant Pastor Rodrigo Baker. He's our newly staff member. John Durden is now a newly staff member. We have Sister Deborah, Gun Gangster, Sister Durden with the Deborah Anointing. She helps me with all of the women and deliverance ministries, and she's an assistant pastor here with me for the past 14 years. And you can email us at overtonav1@gmail.com. You can sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com. Again, Blog Talk, we have done 117,000 people has listened to us here on Blog Talk. It's amazing how time go by so fast and how this ministry started way, way back when I met Brother John at the hospital. This ministry started at a hospital, went from a hospital to a home with people from a home to a radio station. And that's where God got me. And I thank the Lord for Brother John and Brother Baker. And I thank everybody who's listening. God bless, and we're going to see you tomorrow. Chaplain Durden, what is your subject for tomorrow?
One, two things. Either the Holy Spirit or deliverance ministry. One out of two.
Okay. We're going to post it tomorrow about 11 o'clock in the morning, and we'll have a final answer after. God bless you. Brother Baker, God bless you and your family. Brother John, God bless you. Everyone, have a wonderful wonderful night, and we're going to close. You know what we're going to close with, because mid-Jamaican, mid-love Jamaica. God bless.
Welcome to my gymnasium. Check it out. Watch this. Bring ding 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 Yeah, yeah. Bless up. Welcome to my gymnasium. Check it out.